Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and I'm grumpy. I'm very, very grumpy. I also had a beer for lunch.
Nice.
And I'm just now noticing it. So there's that. I'm grumpy. Tommy sitting over there. What's up, man?
Not much, man. Hoping to cheer you up with the show. It's good time.
Hey, well, yeah, just keep saying that. give me about 15 minutes, then I'll be okay. But yeah, it's been one of those days. And to Cabbage and Duff, who I'm supposed to be crawling with right now, no, I'm on the air. They've been asking me for 3 days straight, can we go? I'm like, no. And so finally I told them today, and then my whole morning blew up. So I'm going to try and get this done, get my stuff done, and then I'm going to go kill stuff.
That sounds like a good plan.
So what's on the show today?
Well, we've got some news. We got one fewer Star Wars game coming in the world. So we're going
to... Wow!
I know. So to cheer you up, Star Wars game is canceled. So, but we'll talk about why the crap we can't have good Star Wars games, because it doesn't seem that hard. So
I'm glad that you brought that up, because part of the reason I didn't go dungeon crawling yesterday was I gave myself 4 hours off, and I said, I'm going to sit and watch a movie. And so I loaded up a disc into my PlayStation 4 and started watching Ex Machina. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's one of those that Cabbage recommended on his movie podcast called Currently Considered. I don't even know if he's still doing that. Anyway, it's really good. And then I watched Solo.
Very nice.
Which was, it's actually on Netflix. I cannot believe it.
Yeah, I actually watched it this week too. before I knew about this story. So yeah, we'll have that to talk about in the terms of the Star Wars game, which is good. I'm glad you've seen it too, because I'm excited to chat about that. We do have a few other things as well. Rockstar getting sued by the Pinkertons, which is just fantastic. Just
maybe my love it.
Favorite story of the week. Also some really good games on Xbox Game Pass, and some potential for some really fun stuff coming to the Switch and a few other things. So yeah, we've got good stuff. Plus, we've crossed your fingers, because once I say this, it's going to jinx the whole thing. Maybe got the tech issues worked out that we've had issues with the past couple of weeks, which means we also have the segment from Duff about Jame the Stong. So excited about that.
I think we should just get to that, because if y'all are going to make fun of me for the rest of the show, Let's just get it over with.
It's vastly entertaining. It's a good time. So yeah, let's do that right before we jump into that. Quick thanks to the Patreon guys: Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, aforementioned Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, and Firestorm. Thank you guys for your support. If you'd like to also support us on Patreon, go by gaminguncensored.com and click on the Become a Patron link there over by the top of the page. So both a Patreon supporter and then some with our boy Duff, dude just does everything.
And then some, there's not even a category for Duff.
I know, the Patreon support, while we vastly appreciate it, is like the least of what Duff does for the show. And so on top of everything else that Duff does for the show, he's also sending in wonderfully entertaining segments about James Stong. So it's a good time. So we'll let Duff take it from here, and then we'll come back and chat about it. So without further ado, here is Duff.
So a few days after Christmas, my phone starts blowing up. Look down. There's a whole bunch of texts from Jamie. Okay, cool. First text: "Dude, I think I'm in love." I'm like, "All right, right on. Go for it, man." Second text: "You got to download this cool game called Path of Exile, and it's free." I'm like, "Ah, okay. All right. It's free. I'll give it a shot." So I take a peek, and of course, full on Jamie style, it's like over 5 years old. It's like a MMO style ARPG with a bunch of microtransactions. And I'm thinking, Jamie, I shoot him a text and I'm like, "There's no way that this is better than Divinity Original Sin. That was crazy good." And he's like, "Divinity didn't suck me in like this. Path of Exile is my new favorite thing." And I'm like, "Okay, cool. I'll check it out." So when I had a chance, I finally downloaded the game, fired it up, and tracked Jamie down. And he popped on, and I'm like, let's hook up and do some dungeon crawling or something. Show me around. So next 2 hours, I'm just banging my head against the wall. He gave me his name. His online character name is Jamie the Strong, some barbarian dude. And so I'm typing in his name, trying to friend him, trying to find him. Couldn't figure it out. He couldn't find me. And I'm like, "What's going on? Is a server thing?" I tried changing the server, tried changing the league. I made a new character. I thought it was an instance problem. I couldn't even get into the same chat text as him. Every time I'd log in, I'd be in a different chat. I couldn't change the chat channel. And finally, 2 hours later, I'm like, "Forget this." I had a little more time the next day, so I got back on, and Jamie had more time, and we got on, and he had typed my name in wrong, so he finally was able to find me. And sure enough, I can now see his character. He friended me, and the whole reason why we couldn't connect was because instead of Jamie the Strong, he had created his character. His name is Jame the Stong. I was absolutely cracking up. I was like, "That is perfect for an ogre barbarian who can't type and probably can't read." So that was our kickoff, and I rolled a ranger, and had in the meantime been trying to level up a little bit because Jamie had a few days on me. So I'm running around kiting mobs, and this game is just hordes of mobs coming at you that you're trying to, manage. And, I'm running around with a bow with these huge hordes chasing me around, thinking I'm cool. And then finally Jamie is able to find me in the zone I'm in. And, he comes just barreling up this big ogre barbarian thing and just literally looks at me, tells me to stop, dude. And then just goes charges straight into the mobs and just takes out like 50 of them in one swing. I'm like, "Oh my God." Talk about virtual reality. This is the perfect game for Jamie, because I had no way of telling this dude has any kind of disability. He was rocking this game, and that made me so happy because the other games that I have played online with Jamie, to include some VR stuff, it was tough. I mean, I was literally the guy who was saving his ass over and over. And this time he comes in and is the like superhero on wheels. And it was great. And then he proceeded to power level me 10 levels going through these dungeons, crawling through some great classic Diablo 2 style runs. We get to this one puzzle situation where there's these whirling blades that I have to sneak through. And he's like, oh, don't worry about it, man. Just you've got your life flasks. Just drink a couple of those and just run through them. Don't worry. So he just does that, just runs through. I'm like, okay, fine. I pop a life flask and just run through. Literally the first blade that hits me just destroys me into a big bloody mess. I didn't even have time for the life flask that barely take effect. I'm dead. And he's just laughing on the other side. Two or three times later, I'm doing this and I'm like, you did that on purpose, didn't you? And sure enough, you know, it was very easy to sneak through these blades, but he's over there just cracking up, watching me just get destroyed with his ogre barbarian. Anyway, he's having a blast. We're both made it to that second town. It's a great game to group up. It's easy to do short little runs, quick little dungeon crawl. Looking forward to hopefully meeting up with some of the other Gaming Uncensored crew. Maybe get Tommy on board if he ever has time with in between baby roll issues. And yeah, folks would pop on and it'd be a good way to have some fun and make some memories. But anyway, I just want to share that with you. It was a very humorous about 5 hours of dungeon crawling with Jamie, and one of the better memories I've had in quite a while. It was really great to be able to see him literally just killing it, having a good time as well. So looking forward to more. Take care. Bye.
Okay, so
hold on just a second. There's a PS.
Just a little PS on that segment. At about 5 minutes, 30 seconds, that's my wife kissing me, if you're wondering what that weird sound was. All right. Cheers.
Okay, so I had to start by saying he read my text to you verbatim. That's what I said. He did not make any of that up. I said that. That's how good this game is. And it may be because, like he said, and I know you feel the same way because you played a little bit of it, I know how to do this. I mean, we talked about it last show. It's something that's very, very natural to both of us,
yeah,
to know how to run this. And we love games, and we love all of this stuff, and we love challenges, but there's just something about going back to something that you know how to do really well. And especially, I haven't gotten there yet, but there are apparently areas of this game that will own you. And I'm excited about that. Because we played Diablo 2, which will own you.
Yeah.
If you're not paying attention. And I really like it. So basically everything he said was absolute truth. I still think it's one of the best games out there. It is free to play. They're constantly updating it. They're doing different things. Cabbage tells me it looks vastly different from when he first picked it up. Man, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I really feel like we all need to be playing it. I really do.
Yeah. It is a good time. I am looking forward to putting more time into it. I have two issues. One is that I'm playing Red Dead, and so when I get a chance to play something, I'm playing Red Dead. But two, and this is a stupid issue, but it's an issue I have. So I will play games while I'm working often, as you know.
Right.
But I kind of go back and forth. I play for 5 minutes, and then I work for 5 minutes, and I go back and forth. And the bad thing about Path of Exile being online is you don't pause. Like, there's no pausing in the middle of combat kind of thing. And so, like, I've tried a little bit of playing it while I'm working. And even if I think I'm, like, in a safe spot, like, I wipe out everything and then click off for a little bit, I come back, and they all respawn and killed me, you know? And so, in the stupid way that I play games, it's just tough. And so, in about a week, I'm hoping, once the semester gets rolling, that I'm actually going to have time to just play a game and not be multitasking. And so I want to get in there too. I'm looking forward to some dungeon crawling. It's fun, the little bit I've played of it, and it would be more fun with other people, and so I'm pumped about it. I'm hoping soon that'll happen.
Well, I really enjoyed it because during that time period that Duff was talking about, I don't know what happened, but I had a ton of time. Like I told you, and I may have said it on the air last week, but I put 20 hours into Path of Exile in like 3 days.
Yeah.
Right. And so now Duff and Cabbage are all in. They're all ready to play. They're like, come on, dude. I'm like, I don't have it. The time's not there. And they're like trying to understand, but it sucks being busy.
Yeah.
And you have the option with your job at some point to go on sabbatical. I think this show has to be the sabbatical. Like, I don't know how you do that. It's not a book. You're probably not ever going to make any money off of it. But for crying out loud, if we could have 3 months to do something like this, we could probably make an effort.
It would be fun. It would be a good time. I don't know that I convinced, because to get a sabbatical, like, your institution has to believe you're doing something useful. So I'd have to convince them it was useful, like, for them, not just for me.
Dude,
but it would be cool.
Dude, it's totally a media type thing.
Right?
You could turn this into a class. You really could.
It would be fun. I just want to play games. Like, I don't even care about the rest of it. No, the rest of it sounds like work. I just want to play games.
Yeah.
But, it's something I'm looking forward to hopefully getting into more, and we need to go dungeon crawling with everybody else from the show. It would be a good time.
Well, and the other thing is, I've been told as of yesterday, we're not allowed to use Skype. They don't want to use Wire. They want to use Discord, which I told them on text, I despise Discord. I have 6 or 7 Discord servers that I'm a part of, and it is the biggest mess. Like, I don't know how that became the gaming software, because it's just a wreck.
Yeah.
Like, it'll beep at me, and I'm like, okay, I've got an IM or something. And I look, and there's nothing there. And like, I've got these 6 servers, so unless I want to crawl through each of these servers and figure out what I haven't read, it's such a pain in the butt. And if I'm missing the point with Discord, somebody tell me, because I don't get it.
Yeah, I've used it very, very little. Just played around with it for a little bit and was turned off by it pretty immediately and never went back. I just haven't had a reason to yet.
We have a Discord server, which is what the guys want. That, like, we got to have a GU Discord server. We have one. We just don't like it.
Not terribly interested. But people love it, and like, they have their own game store now, which is nuts, whatever. So there's something there. Whatever it is, we're just apparently missing it.
So we got to figure out what we're going to use to do these crawls.
Yeah.
Because the guys are trying to move us over to the dark side, and I just don't see it.
Yeah.
And if we're not using it correctly, somebody let us know.
Yeah.
Because we've been wrong about a lot of stuff on this show. This could just be another thing.
That's absolutely true. So.
Yep.
All that being said, should we talk about some news?
Absolutely.
So let's talk about some Star Wars stuff. So let me give you the news story first, and then let's talk more broadly and including a Solo conversation in there, because I'm excited to have that maybe more so than anything else around this. So the news story is that EA had a Star Wars game that they are working on, this open world Star Wars, which we'd kind of heard about. And this is after, what was the name of that Star Wars game that got canceled just a couple
something
years ago?
13.
What,
something.
Was it 1313 or 17?
Yes.
13, whatever it was, yeah.
Star Wars 1313, that's it.
That looked so freaking cool, and then it got canceled. And we get this tease of a new Star Wars game that's going to be open world. And we got some new details around it. So it was going to be done by Visceral, and then Visceral got shut down, and then it moved over to the EA Vancouver office, whatever. And now it's gone. Again, but apparently when it was at Visceral, it was going to be this big open world game where you can play as like a smuggler or something. And then when it got moved it over to, or maybe I'm backwards on that. I'm backwards on that. When it was at Visceral, it was going to be a linear game like Uncharted. And the Uncharted director, Amy Hennig, was the one that was overseeing it. And then when it got moved to EA Vancouver, it turned into this open world game. And then that didn't happen either. So this Star Wars game has gone through two iterations of not happening. And now EA is just saying, oh, we've got these assets. We'll do something with them at some point of putting them into Battlefront or something. I don't know what's going to happen.
That's exactly what they'll do,
I imagine. So all that to say, any hopes of a Star Wars game that's not Battlefront, that's RPG-ish or open world-ish, or even, like, I would dig a Uncharted-style, you know, linear narrative.
Like a Solo.
Yeah.
You could make a game around Han Solo and I'd play that.
Or a completely different, you know, smuggler or similar character or something like that that's in the universe but isn't in the canon or whatever. I would play that, too. Like, I just love the Star Wars world. But none of those things appear to be happening right now. And so, why is it so hard to make a good Star Wars game, apparently? Like, it's a franchise that just seems like it should have a great representation in the video game world. And outside of Knights, which we love and we talk about a lot, and for the life of me, I don't understand why that franchise is apparently dead. There's not been a ton of really good Star Wars RPG-ish kind of stuff. Battlefront is a good game in its own right, but it's not what I want from a Star Wars game. I know it's not what you want from a Star Wars game. Why is it so hard to put out a good Star Wars RPG?
Because it's beloved. And I really honestly believe anybody that tries to pick it up eventually just gets overwhelmed by the fact that they're going to screw it up. Like, I honestly think that's what happens. It's like back in the day before Rocksteady got Batman.
Yes.
Batman has never been good before Arkham. And now Batman is great. And you can say what you want about the last two games. They're still worlds better than anything we had previously.
Yes.
I think the original Arkham Asylum is probably the best game in the series. But even the ones after that are a ton better than anything else ever. And it's that same type of deal until somebody comes along and knocks it out of the park multiple times. We're just not gonna have it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there is a fear of doing it poorly, and even if you don't do it poorly, like, it's so easy because it's such a beloved franchise with such an entrenched fan base that even if you do it well, there's going to always be a section of that fan base that doesn't like it. That if it isn't like the first three movies, it's always going to be bad. And I think to transition into the movie side of this, I think we saw that with The Last Jedi, which you and I loved. Like, we went and saw that movie together. Yeah. We came out of there glowing about it. And that movie got panned by a lot of people. And now Solo, which we just both saw this week, I really dug it. I thought it was a really good movie.
I
had a great time with it. And that got pretty well panned by the, even more so than The Last Jedi, I would argue, of it just being, I don't know. I don't know what people's problem with it was, because it's been a while and I just kind of forgotten why people didn't seem to like it. But it just underperformed. It didn't do super well. I would make an argument, we'll come back to Solo in just a second, but I would make an argument on the video game side that, like, Knights already gave you a roadmap for this, and there exists a way to make a good Star Wars game. And I think, and maybe this is my controversial opinion about this, but I think the key is not making it built around the Star Wars characters that we know.
I agree.
I think absolutely. You've got to do what Knights did and put it in that world. And even if you tangentially bring the characters in, I would love, like, cameos, you know, like your paths cross with Han Solo or something else. But ultimately, that your character is living in that universe with worlds that we know and aliens that we know and lore that we know, but is separated from the storylines that exist in the movies and specifically in the original trilogy, which once you start messing with that, you get into a pretty dangerous place.
Well, you know what the deal is, and we have never played it, but The Old Republic, which EA is doing and has done for a long time. The Old Republic is kind of what I envision a current-gen Star Wars game being, except not online.
Yeah.
Like, I have no desire to play it as it is now, because it's online. I don't want to, as much as I love Path of Exile, I don't want to play Star Wars online. Just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I don't want to party with people. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
If it was an offline title that was kind of in a Path of Exile vein that just continually kept growing and changing and doing different things, I think I would be all over that.
Yeah.
I really do.
I played The Old Republic for a little bit when it came in. That game's been out forever now. Like, it's like, what is it, 10 years or something probably that game's been out. But I played it a little bit. I think we both played it a little bit when it came out.
I've never touched it.
Okay. But to use your phrase, it failed to capture me. Like, and this was in the midst of playing World of Warcraft, a game that I was very much captured by. But it was like, it just felt so non-personal, you know, like the narrative just wasn't there. Now, maybe they've made it better in all that time. But at the time of playing it, like, I just remember, like, it's doing quests that you're going and, like, collecting stuff or killing so many things or whatever. And it just kind of was blah, you know, like it just wasn't something that I felt like made Star Wars feel real. It was just a bunch of people running around with blasters, kind of like playing Battlefront, which I feel the same way about. Like, I want to dig it, I want to get into it, but at the end of the day, it's just a bunch of, like, dudes running around with blasters, and then every so often, like, here comes Darth Maul through a wall and chops you up with a lightsaber or whatever, and it's just weird. I want story, because that's what I love about Star Wars, is that it tells such a good story. And the online games or the shooter style games or the flight sim kind of games, all of which exist and they've made, you know, technically good titles, just fail to capture me because I don't care if I don't have a good Star Wars story to go with it.
Well, and even like back in the day, the big deal was Rogue Squadron. And I owned the Rogue Squadron games. And they were good, but when it comes right down to it, other than Luke, I don't care about Rogue Squadron.
Yeah.
I don't care about Biggs and Wedge and all of the, I don't care. Like, you could insert 80 different Alliance people in there and I don't care. You know, and also, I don't want to fly through a Star Wars game.
Yes.
Okay, you know, put me on the ground. I mean, you could put me in a desert with, you know, three suns and call it Tatooine. I wouldn't care. Just give me a cantina and some credits. And that's what Knights of the Old Republic did so well is... You walk into a cantina on any given planet, and it's Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, you're there.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is it. This is it. You know, and I know you feel the same way because I think we both had the same response when we started playing it was you walk around and it's Star Wars.
100%. Again, theoretically in my head, that's not that hard to capture. I understand it's much harder than I'm making it out to be. But that's like what I want. It could be open world or it could be a much smaller, you know, again, linear Uncharted style thing. And I don't care as long as it feels Star Wars and gives me a story that's compelling.
And you know what's funny? We're probably the only two guys that feel this way, but I want the same thing out of Star Trek.
Yeah.
I want the exact same thing out of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Star Trek is the opposite. I don't want to be on a planet walking around with a bunch of red shirts.
Right.
I want to be in the freaking Enterprise.
Isn't that like boiling it down to a maybe overly simplistic point? But isn't that the biggest difference in the feels between Star Wars and Star Trek is that Star Trek is so much about the ships and Star Wars is so much more about the planets and
the environment.
The environments. But, like, don't get me wrong, the Millennium Falcon, obviously a big deal in Star Wars universe, but it's still a means to an end in so many ways, whereas the Enterprise is the story. And just the fact that Star Trek takes place almost exclusively on ships, whereas Star Wars doesn't. But, yeah, you're absolutely right.
And the Falcon is the one of very, 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 very few named ships.
Yeah, like, that you care about.
You got the Millennium Falcon, you got the Death Star, you've got I can't even think of
yep, that's about it. You've got like X-Wings and TIE Fighters, and those are cool, but those are, you know, personal spacecrafts or whatever, and so they're just a different feel, and yeah, whatever. So all that being said, let me ask you, like, so we both like Solo. Give me some more thoughts about Solo.
Here's the thing with Solo. When I started watching it, honestly, I got upset because, you know, I have I'm the last guy on the planet that still gets Blu-rays from Netflix.
Yeah.
Right? And so I pull out my Blu-ray, I load it into my PS4. Get about halfway through Ex Machina, and the disc is scratched. I'm like, well, crap. I got to go look and see if I can find this online. And by some miracle, it was on streaming, which stuff like that almost never is. And so I fire up the streaming and do all that. And as I'm getting to it, I see Solo is there, and the first thought that I had in my head was, well, there goes my afternoon. Like, whatever I was going to do after this, that's out the window. And what sold it for me was the guy that played Young Solo. Like, that dude is Han Solo. That dude is a 20-year-old version of Harrison Ford. And they just did it so well. And for some reason, the girl also really fit for me. Mm-hmm. Like, he had a reason to do everything that he did. And, I mean, our whole lives we've heard about how he won the Falcon, right? Like, he wins in a card game from Lando. Well, now you know why he did that.
Yeah.
And it just, it's so well done. So well done.
Yeah.
And it just, it fits with everything that we already know. And that's the key.
Yeah. Let me say, it is, the plot is cheesy at times.
Yes.
It is campy at times.
Yes.
And those are the things I love about Star Wars. Like, Star Wars is that. And I feel like that was a lot of, like, what people didn't like The Last Jedi about. And those were the things I was like, that's the part that felt most Star Wars to me, you know, like, I expect some of that, the crazy twists and the ridiculous, like, backstabbing and that and everything else. It, like, that's kind of what makes Star Wars, Star Wars. I'm like, I want a really good narrative, and going back to the video game side of this, I want a Star Wars game with a really good narrative that fits Star Wars. That's not like a super airtight, deep drama, you know, narrative. Like, I want it to be campy.
That's the other thing. Woody Harrelson was fantastic.
Yeah, Woody Harrelson. I didn't even realize Woody Harrelson was in it until I started watching it. Like, I just had missed that altogether. On the flip side of that, and this is maybe my controversial opinion about Solo, I didn't think Donald Glover was that great as Lando. I was really disappointed because I really like Donald Glover. I really like Troy on Community. I think Troy and Abed are the reason to watch Community, and I love that show. I really like Childish Gambino as a musical artist, which is Donald Glover. I really like his stand-up work even. Like, I've always really enjoyed Donald Glover. And then when I saw he got cast as Lando, I was like, oh my goodness, that's perfect. He's going to kill it. And then I watched the movie, and I was like, he's not that good.
He was all right. He was passable.
He was passable. I think that's a good way to say it. But, like, you're absolutely right. I agree. The guy that played Han was really solid. Like, I really dug it. I don't know who that dude is, but I thought he was really great. And I thought Lando would steal the movie, and he was just kind of meh to me. Like, it was just, it's all right. It was okay. It wasn't terrible. But there was a couple of lines that he delivered, and I'm like, oh, that was bad. Like, even in the realm of, like, Star Wars cheesiness and everything else, like, it just, yeah, I was disappointed with that. So,
well, and the thing that I didn't get was when they first met, and he's sitting around the table with piles and piles of credits, right? Because he's been winning all these hands. And then they decide they're going to team up, and they walk out, and he's like, oh, yeah, did I mention my ships and Hawk? And, like, his ship, like, the Falcon's got a boot on it. And I'm like, what is going on here? Like, that dude was just sitting in front of, like, 50 million credits.
Yeah.
And his ships, like, that makes no sense.
Yeah. There's massive plot holes, which again are part of the charm of Star Wars. Going back to the idea of it being Uncharted, like, of doing an Uncharted-ish Star Wars game. Uncharted is a franchise that tells stories like Star Wars tells stories, in that they're kind of cheesy and campy and over the top and have big old plot holes in them, and you don't care because they're fun. That's at the end of the day what I want from Star Wars. Game, movie, whatever. And I thought Solo did that well. I want to see a video game that does it like that, that does it well too.
Which, by the way, Chewie was great.
Chewie was great.
Chewie was fantastic. And I can't, like, it bothers me to say that because it's a dude in a suit.
Right.
Like, we don't even really know who that dude is, but he was great.
He was great. I agree 100% with that. That dude killed it. Whoever's the dude in the suit killed it. So, Yeah, give us a good Star Wars game. We'll see. Maybe there'll be a new announcement at E3 of a Star Wars game that'll get canceled in 2 years, and so we can look forward to that now.
One more before we wrap this up. I've never heard of the droid that was Lando's navigator.
Uh-huh.
But she was great.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. That made me laugh. Yes. I don't even know. Like, it was a robot that knew that she was hot.
Yeah.
And like, I don't even want nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
You know, you keep your hands off me because I'm gay. And you better be okay with that. there was that kind of a vibe, you know what I'm saying? And you're looking at it going, it's a robot.
Yeah. The new Star Wars movies, both the two new kind of in series and the two new out of, you know, series ones, whatever you want to call them, Solo and what's the Rogue One. All have good droids, you know, like they've done a really good job with these newer Star Wars movies of having really fun droids in them. So it's another key component to Star Wars. You have to have good droids.
Yep.
So all that being said, we will move on and hope for good Star Wars in the future. So moving on to Red Dead, which we can talk about a little bit outside of this news story as well. But this news story is just great. Rockstar is being sued by the real life Pinkertons, which are still around, which I didn't know.
I did not know that.
Me neither. It's like, obviously, like the Pinkertons in history are significant. And seeing them pop up in Red Dead 2 is pretty fun. But yeah, I had no clue that like they still existed in some capacity. And so the Pinkerton, which is Pinkerton, the detective agency, whatever you want to call it, is now Pinkerton Consulting and Investigations, is a company under the umbrella of a bigger securities company or whatever. But they still exist. And so they have sued Rockstar for essentially defamation. I don't know if that's exactly what they call it, but for using their trademark and then painting them as villains and ugly characters in
well,
Red Dead
2. Well, they are!
Which is a little bit of the history of the Pinkertons.
Yeah!
Like, they were pretty sketchy as an organization back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Like, and that's Rockstar's argument in this whole thing, is that they are historically portraying them accurately, and so to sue them doesn't hold any weight through First Amendment, whatever. But it still cracks me up that the actual Pinkertons are suing Rockstar in 2019.
Okay, so I still have a couple videos left because I have no idea when you're going to play on a weekly basis. And so I ration, right?
Right.
But the video that I just finished was you busting out of Valentine.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking at the map, and you're, like, wanted on half the map.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, this is getting pretty serious. Like, you're getting to the point where you're going to have to start running a tab at the post office. Just like,
yeah,
here's my credit card, and I'll be back. You know, it's getting very serious. So I think it's funny that you brought up the Pinkertons because they're getting to be a bigger deal. I am, like I said, I have a couple of videos left, but I kind of sort of think that Leviticus Cornwall, which is the greatest name ever, has something to do with the Pinkertons.
Yeah.
I'm really into this, and I don't even, like, it's starting, I don't know if you feel the same way based on what we talked about last week. But these last couple of hours are starting to ramp up.
Yes.
And you busting out of Valentine's, I'm like, wait, stop. No, slow down. Because I can see it ramping up. And I'm like, there's so much more that we have to do. Don't ramp up. I'm not ready to be done yet. It's not time, but it's happening.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing about this game and Rockstar games in general, this isn't unique to Red Dead, in that it depends on how you play it, because I'm a little hesitant in that same way. And so we are just now getting to Chapter 3. And so this was the transition into Chapter 3, in part because, like, I want to do all the other stuff before moving on, because I realize that probably, you know, there's going to be a big story element that moves us, which is exactly what happens. And so I wanted to like get as much done around, you know, Valentine and Strawberry and those early towns before moving on. Of course, we can go back there, but I'm probably going to be a little less apt to do that. And so you didn't then, you know, kind of run out of stuff to do at that point and get the main story going, which does add a lot of intensity to it. And then you get to a new place, and so the next videos that you've got, because I've played a good bit more, I've been able to play quite a bit, again still with pausing all the time, so God bless you for fast forwarding through all those, but there's more video to come. And so in this new place, the main city is St. Denis, which is like New Orleans in Red Dead 2.
Awesome,
right? And not just in real life, I love New Orleans. I just think it's the coolest city.
Which, by the way, this is a heck of a game we got going here.
Yeah. It is. I've got it pulled up right in front of me, as I'm sure you do too.
Yeah.
The New Orleans Saints just scored. By the time anybody listens to this, this game's well over. But for us, it's in real time. So all that being said, I've just spent a bunch of time like exploring St. Denis now, and just like checking out, you know, different things to do in town, going and seeing a couple of shows, doing a couple of missions around there. And so it will slow back down again, because now I'm avoiding all of these, you know, storyline quests, because I want to do all the side stuff that's so much fun. And it's really the kind of character to a Rockstar game. Like, the narrative is really good and the story's good and it's engaging and I dig it, and I'm, you know, excited to play more of it. But I also just love living in the world, and that's what kind of separates Rockstar, I think, in doing these open world games from everybody else that does them still, that I just don't think anybody executes like Rockstar can. Grand Theft Auto 5 was the exact same way for me. Like, okay, the story's fun, I'm going to do all the story stuff, but I also want to just live in this world and just do the things in this world that you can do because they made them happen. So that's where we are now.
And I think it's very interesting that you play this game the way that I play every other game. It drives you crazy, because I go and I do all the side stuff on everything. That's why I still haven't finished Skyrim, because I've got 150 some odd hours just from messing around. And I think it's amazing that you play Red Dead the way that I play everything else, which is I want to do everything else and see everything else that there is to see.
Yeah, I do too, if it's compelling. And that's for a lot of games, it just isn't compelling enough for me to go do it. Rockstar does have that problem. Rockstar knows how to make that other stuff super compelling. And to be fair, Skyrim did too. I loved all the side stuff in Skyrim. There's plenty of games that do it well. There's lots of games that don't too. For instance, God of War, which is a game I love, there's some stuff I didn't do in that game, because it just it like going and finding all the birds or whatever, the ravens that you can get, or you know, collecting these. And there is that stuff in Red Dead. So let me be clear. I'm not going to do all that stuff in Red Dead either. Like the cigarette cards, I don't have that much interest in those. You know, like I'm not going to go scour the world trying to find every one of those cigarette cards. When I come across one in the world, I'm like, oh, cool. But I don't have like Google open the whole time to make sure I'm not missing one everywhere I go. There's stuff in the game I'm not going to do too. But there's enough density to the stuff that they've added in that I'm going to do a lot of it and enjoy it. But I've just never been a completionist with games, and so, yeah, you've got to give me really compelling stuff to do it. I think of Breath of the Wild, which is a game, again, I love and did so much in, but still not going to go and find every Korok seed in that game, you know, just have no interest in it. So,
which the value there, if you do that early, that's inventory space.
Yes, which is something we didn't realize for the whole game, basically. That is really helpful in Zelda, and would have been a bigger deal if we had known about it earlier on. But still, once you get to a certain point where you have your inventory space taken care of, there's still like 800 of those seeds in the world that I just don't have an interest in finding, you know, like needle in a haystack kind of game mechanics. Not that fun to me. But I get it. I get why people do like that and want those things in their games. So whatever. Red Dead's awesome.
I'm really happy with Red Dead. Yeah. I still think Dutch needs to be shot. Like, somebody just needs to.
We may get there.
Like, it's really, he really bothers me. I don't know what it is about that character. I just don't like him.
Yeah, that's fair.
And the one I was going to ask you about, we got other stuff we need to talk about. But now I want to go back and play the original Red Dead because John Marston.
Yeah.
I don't like him either.
No, he's like, terrible in this game.
He's just awful.
He's so like, obnoxious.
I just want to beat the crap out of him.
Yeah. Red Dead 3 is going to be a prequel where you play somebody around Arthur Morgan, and Arthur Morgan is going to be the most obnoxious character. Like, I think that's just their mechanic now. Like, John Marston obviously changes a lot before the time of the first Red Dead Redemption because he's way more tolerable and not as much of a idiot. But they're kind of playing into that transition because like he orchestrated this like train heist or whatever, and like Arthur just gives him the hard time about being an idiot the whole time. But at the very beginning of the game, you save him from being like eaten alive by wolves, and so Arthur is like, man, maybe those wolves chewing on your brain did something good for you, you know. And, like, it's setting up this transition into John Marston of Red Dead, which is kind of cool. It's fun to see that
now,
thread.
Before we wrap this up, I gotta ask, are you getting the feeling that when this is done, not that we have time to do that, again, we need to take 3 months off and just do this, but do you want to go back? Because I kind of do.
Go back to the first Red Dead?
Yeah.
If I had time, I would love to, but there's a billion other games ahead of it on my list.
I mean, I think it'd be a blast.
I do too. It's a good game. I loved it the first time I played through it. It plays differently, definitely, than Red Dead 2 does. They're obviously the same family of games, but man, they feel a lot different from each other, and should. There's, again, like 10 years in between them or whatever it was since the first Red Dead came out. And so,
right.
But yeah, they're both fantastic. Red Dead 2 is just one of the best games I've ever played. It's great. So, all that said, a quick couple of things before we wrap up here. I mentioned that the Xbox Game Pass is doing well with the games that are available. For January, now they have Shadow of Mordor as one of your games, and We Happy Few, which shocked me, because that's a pretty new game. Like, that game's only been out for a few months in its actual final release. It's a game that was in early access for a long time, but in its final release, it's only actually been out for a couple of months. Is still a $60 game if you go on Steam or something like that. And so Xbox Game Pass and PlayStation Network or PlayStation Plus and every other one of these game services out there. Now we talked about last week the Vive Infinity. This is the way we're getting games soon. Like, everything's going to be subscription based and eventually go to streaming. Like the same way. Like, I hardly ever buy music at this point. Soon we're going to hardly ever buy games. They're all going to be on a service. Alamo Drafthouse, for crying out loud, has a unlimited movie pass now that you pay their monthly fee, and you can go to as many movies as you want and get priority seating and all this kind of stuff.
Dude. You know, I would do that in a heartbeat.
I would, too, if I didn't have a baby.
Yeah.
A little over a year ago, that would have been a no-brainer for us, as much as we love Alamo Drafthouse. But we haven't gone to Alamo Drafthouse in nearly a year, because the little girl's nearly a year old. She's 11 months old today, which is nuts.
Holy cow.
Right? It is the craziest thing. It just boggles the mind. That's everything is going service based as opposed to commodity based, and gaming is no different. So be prepared for the new world. Quickly on the Switch, the there's a potential. This isn't confirmed yet. But Nintendo's been putting out original Nintendo NES games on their online service. It looks like Super Nintendo games are coming next, with Super Mario World and Star Fox being in the lineup, which makes me so happy. Because I've said it so many times, that Super Nintendo is my favorite console with my favorite games. Super Metroid's on the list, which obviously is one of my favorites. Super Mario Kart, I still think the original Super Mario Kart under the Super Nintendo is a blast. The original, the Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past is probably my third favorite Zelda game now, after Breath of the Wild came out. But still, so many good games from the Super Nintendo era, and those on the Switch are gonna own me.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious because you own a Super Nintendo.
I do.
Why? And we just keep rebuying these games.
Absolutely.
Nintendo laughs all the way to the bank.
And they will continue to, because I will continue to buy them. So, and then one last thing I'll mention, we'll get to releases. Rocket League now is fully cross-platform. So all that talk from Sony about how they couldn't do it, they've done it. And so now you can cross-play Rocket League from the PS4, the Switch, the Xbox, and from Steam, which is super cool.
That's cool.
And again, the future of gaming where all these infrastructures are combined and working together and everything else. So quickly, releases, not a ton. This is just kind of a slow time of year for game releases. Ace Combat 7, we're talking about Star Wars flying games. Ace Combat, not Star Wars, but flying game kind of world. Getting decent reviews is a thing, I guess. I don't know. I never wanted. I know you were a little bit more into some of the flight combat kind of games.
Yes, I love that stuff.
Yeah.
And the reason I never got into Ace Combat is you can do that, but when you get too arcadey is when I'm out.
Yeah.
And that's what Ace Combat is. And I want something in the middle. I want something that's sort of semi with some arcade moments.
Yeah.
And Ace Combat is just all arcade all the time. But I saw a YouTube video, and I gotta look this up. It may have been this game, but apparently one of the VR headsets has this game or something similar available in VR.
Interesting.
That I would do.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah. That could be very cool, or could just make me hurl all over the place. Or both. It could honestly be both, which would be fine. Guacamelee 2 is out on at least Xbox One, and a list of other places, but imagine? I don't think that's an Xbox exclusive. Yeah, also on PC, PlayStation 4, and Switch. And then I gotta mention this one. It is on Steam, by the way. Onimusha Warlords, a remaster, is out. And
wow,
Onimusha franchise you and I have talked about before that we both really loved. Kind of old school ish now. It feels crazy to call Onimusha old school, but it really is. Kind of a hack and slash soul sucking, really fun game. And so,
man, we gotta get that accessibility controller working. Right. I don't want to play that.
Yeah. I dug some Onimusha back in the day. I never, like, a lot of those similar titles. That and Devil May Cry are kind of in similar veins. They play differently, but they're kind of in similar worlds. There's a bunch of other games that are kind of in that same vein that I just never got into, but for whatever reason, Onimusha was a big one. And then I'll mention a couple of what were early access games on Steam that I've played that are now out, not out of early access. My Time in Portia, which is like Stardew Valley, but 3D, but very similar in that you build up like your own farm and gather resources. And there's this town where you intermingle with town folk and do quests and all that kind of stuff. Is a legitimately fun game if you like Stardew Valley. It's very much in the same vein. And then Trickster VR, which is a dungeon crawler in VR, that's actually pretty fun as well, that you can team up with other people and go dungeon crawling in VR. So a couple of early access games that are no longer early access, which is always fun because it feels like games stay in early access forever.
Well, I have to mention, I know we're way over, but I don't care because I got to tell you the story. We talked a little bit about Stardew Valley on the last show, and I told you that Avery was playing it. And Avery decided, I cannot believe I didn't mention this last show, but Avery decided that Sam in Stardew Valley is going to be her romantic interest. So she, because like she's 15 now, so that's the thing. And so she's walking around the town in Stardew Valley trying to find gifts to give Sam. And I know you know Sam because you played a ton. But Amy's like, what do I got to do to get her to like me? And I'm like, I don't know. but that's an issue that I didn't really think I would ever have with a game. And now it's happening. I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
Yeah, one of the biggest questions in Stardew Valley is, whom do you romance? And so I'm trying to remember, because I actually, like, I know what, like, all the characters like, gift-wise. I'm trying to remember, Sam, what it is that he likes. He's the, like, kind of, he like, plays guitar in his room with Sebastian.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Like, Amy's like, I just want to go in there and hang out with him, but it's just, we're not good enough friends.
Yeah. Building relationships in Stardew Valley is obnoxious. But if you figure out what they like what their favorite thing is, it actually goes really quickly if you can harvest those things. And so that's hilarious. I love it.
Correct. Yeah, I knew you would. And I just totally forgot to mention it when we were talking about it. But I'm like, man, I'm an uncle of a teenager.
Yep. I can't believe she's 15. My goodness, man.
Like, I just need to go to your house and be there for a while where things are simpler and we don't have to worry about things like that yet.
Yeah. And then build a time machine because goodness gracious. Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes by too fast. So.
Yes, it does.
So there you go. Go by the show notes, gamingonsensor.com. There's a few things we missed, so go check them out.
I have a random question for you. You're going to love this because we both have the game on. And you are not allowed to use Google, but I'm going to ask you a question. How old do you think Joe Buck is?
Oh, man. How old is Joe Buck? He's got to be, let's say, 62.
I'm thinking like, he's got to be like 62 at least, but I'm just looking at him because they did the one shot with him and Troy. And the whoever the ref guy is for Fox.
Oh, wow.
And he looks like he's 40.
Well, he's a lot closer to 40 than he is 62. He's 49.
Oh!
I was thinking he was a lot older.
I guess because he's been
around for so long. And in baseball for so long. And it's hard because his dad was so influential, too, that, like, it's easy to kind of mesh them together, I guess. But, yeah, I thought he was a lot older than he is. But he does, like, lots of good hair color going on there.
Yeah.
Like, he's on the president's regime of blonde hair color.
He's got a good stylist, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just curious. I saw that one shot. I'm like, I wonder how old that dude is.
Yeah, I'm really surprised. I really thought he was a lot older than that.
I mean, like, for crying out loud, let's be honest. In like a month and a half, he's 9 years older than me. That's it.
Yeah.
So I can't say a lot.
Yeah. That's fair.
Which, by the way, I was talking to you over the weekend about when we're going to get together again. That's going to happen sooner than later, because I'm going to try real hard not to get depressed for my birthday. And the only way I can think to do it is be at your house for an extended period of time.
That seems fair.
I'll take all the ribbing that I know I'm going to get. I'll take that. But there will be alcohol and beef jerky and video games. And if I can have those three things, I can take it.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Yeah. Alcohol, beef jerky, and video games. Man, that sounds like the life.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good place to be.
I mean, seriously, that's all we really want, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I it's sad that we're adults and that's all we really want, but it really kind of is.
Yep. That's fair.
And your daughter's getting older. I got to see her.
Yeah.
Which, ridiculous. By the way, have you gotten a text from my parents?
Nuh-uh. Are they still around?
Yeah, they're still there till like tomorrow. So I don't know what the deal is there. I guess mom just gave up.
Apparently so.
So anyway, we got to get out of here. You guys know where we're at. You know how to get us. We got the email, gaminguncensored@gmail.com. We've got the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
Go by the Facebook, because always fun stuff over there. There's all kinds of stuff happening over there. Our buddy Firestorm makes me laugh. Did you see the post from him about being 40?
Uh-huh.
Like, that made me laugh,
yep.
Because I know you're not there yet, but I know you felt that.
Man, having a baby, it changes that world a lot. I feel old every day, in part because I have to get up at like 1 o'clock in the morning. Often. One night this week, I kid you not, she just woke up wide awake at 1:30 in the morning, just stayed awake for an hour, playing, laughing, having a good old time. I'm like, little girl, go to sleep, dang it. And she's like, nah, I'm just playing daddy and just having a good old time. So it's awesome. It's worth every second of it. So but I feel it in the morning, and like I have a Fitbit, you know, so I like track my sleep, and there was that night I got 17 minutes of deep sleep. I woke up the next morning going, yeah, I feel old. This is what old feels like.
So that's why I'm looking forward to my birthday, because I know you're going to try real hard to harass me, but I don't really feel like your heart's going to be in it this year.
I don't think it is. I feel like I'm catching up every year. So
yeah, so,
that's fair.
Yeah. So anyway, what else?
Twitter at podcastgu, Patreon. Yeah. GamingUncensored.com. Go there.
Path of Exile eventually.
Yes, that is in the works.
We're definitely gonna be. What if we did that in lieu of a roundtable?
That would be fun. That's not a terrible idea.
What if that was the roundtable?
Yeah.
I don't know how we would record that, but
we figure it out.
We figure it out. Now you got me thinking. but for now, I'm Jamie, that's Tommy, and for another week, we're Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.